All righty. Before I do the morning prayer, are there any prayer requests, praise reports? Okay.
I was going to say, keep having chair.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My son Andrew just moved to Tampa, Florida, started a new job, and prayed for his new job, and prayed for his first job.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Alrighty, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning, lifting up prayer requests to you. We think of Butch Allen's family. He passed away, Lord, and we pray for those that are left behind, that they might be met with understanding and peace. We think of Andrew Wilson, who has moved to Florida for his first job out of college. We lift up him to you, and we pray that you will meet his needs and pave the way for his new position. Go ahead of him, Lord, and ease the transition. And we lift up to you our youth that are at camp. We pray that you will use this time mightily to strengthen them and that they will come to know you in a more intimate way. Father God, I pray for each and everyone in the sanctuary this morning that their needs would be met, that you might listen to the hearts, and if they have unspoken requests, that you would work to meet those requests. I thank, Lord, of those that are troubled in spirit and ask that you will relieve that troubling spirit and just anoint them anew and afresh. And Lord, I think of those that are not here today, that you will bring them back safely to the fold. I lift up to you the pastor who's in China and pray that he is having a wonderful time and that traveling mercies may prevail on his way back to us. I pray for this morning's message that you will touch it and use it to further your kingdom, and ask that you bless each and every one of us as we go out this week to meet your needs. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, let's turn to Luke 16 in our Bibles. Luke 16, I'm going to read the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Starting with verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing afar off Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, let's look at this first verse. There was a certain rich man. You know, Jesus said it would be harder for a rich man to come into the kingdom, didn't he? What did he say? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That was from the story of the rich young ruler. You all remember that? A rich man came to Jesus and said, What do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly they should they have riches enter into the kingdom of God. It's very hard for a rich person to give up their riches, isn't it? It's very hard for a rich person to give away everything they have to walk with Jesus. Or, for that matter, for any reason, they not only not want to give up the riches, they want more. Usually it's a just grab more and more and more. The more you have, the more you want. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? Because that is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God says to give what you have, more will be added to you. But it's a hard situation for the world to fathom, isn't it? For the world to be told, if you give it away, I'll give you more. It just doesn't make sense. How about those in the sanctuary today, those in the house of God? Does it make sense to you to have the riches and to give them to those in need? Not judging, but just to give those in need. Let's look at the parable again. It says, The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. Don't you think he had it all? Had the big house, the fine furniture, the good clothing, the best in anything that you want to eat, I'm sure. And poor Lazarus, the beggar, laying outside this man's gate, just wanting the crumbs from his table, just fighting for the crumbs with the dogs that came up. We don't know why Lazarus was in need. We don't know if at one time he had plenty and fell into that quandary, or if he had always been that way, just a beggar. But we do know that he was at that gate and he needed food, didn't he? He was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And it came to pass that he died, that Lazarus died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, if I remember correctly, and I'm not sure, don't hold me to this, but at one time before Jesus died and went to heaven and made a way for us, there was Sheol and there was hell. And it was divided with a chasm that you could not cross. And that is where Lazarus went. He went to Sheol. And he could see across the chasm and see what was going on with the rich man. And the rich man could see Lazarus over in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man, was being very much tormented in hell. That's what we hear, don't we? That it's hot in hell. And he saw Lazarus and he cried, "Just let Lazarus bring me some water that I can just dip in and put some on my tongue." Oh, can you imagine? Just wanting that little dip. He didn't ask for a whole cup to drink or pour over his head. He just wanted a little taste of water. But what did Abraham tell him? "Remember that in thy lifetime you received good things. You had the best. In your lifetime, you had the best." Now, does that describe some of the rich people today? Maybe some that we know. They have the best. They have the best cars. They have the best home. They have the best furniture. They have the best trips and vacations. They have it all, don't they? But there will be a time when they may not have it all. There may be a time when they will be just like this rich man. So, what are we called to do? Are we called to reach out to all, to the rich as well as the poor? We think about talking to the poor, don't we? That's not so bad. "Hey, buddy, you got it rough. Well, do you know Jesus?" But a rich fellow that's very important in his finery, do we approach him? We should. We should approach everyone. We're all on equal playing field at the cross. We need to reach out to everyone, to the rich and the poor. Let them hear the message of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done for us, what he continues to do. He's alive. He is alive. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things." You know, the rich are handicapped. They really are handicapped. It's very difficult when you have everything at your fingertips not to see that life is good, that it's plentiful. Even in everyday drudgery, you could live through it quite well if you had plenty of money. It's easy. You just buy something else that keeps you happy for a little while, right? But when you're poor, there isn't much you can do for comfort, is there? When you're poor, you're tormented. You're tormented in meeting your bills, your obligations, putting food on the table for your family. But yet the widow's mite comes into play there. I'll bet even the poor put something in the offering plate on Sunday mornings. Don't you bet? And it goes on to say, besides all this between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. There is a gulf between the rich and the poor. Even on this earth, there is a gulf. There's a gulf between those that have and those that have not. Have you ever noticed that? There is. The rich don't want to be bothered with the poor person. And the poor just get out of the way of the rich when they come through, because they know that there's a difference, don't they? They know that they're not acceptable around the rich. They're not acceptable. So we look at them being in Sheol and we think they can't pass either way. They cannot pass. The rich cannot go to the poor and the poor can't go to the rich. The unsaved can't go to the saved, and the saved can't go to the unsaved. So he was not able to bring him any water, was he? Not even a little. Put his finger in the water to cool his tongue. Couldn't even do that. But then he said, I pray thee, send them to my father's house. He said, send Lazarus to my father's house, that he might explain to his five brothers and they could avoid going to hell. Now, there's a testimony, isn't it? The rich man wanted Lazarus, the poor beggar with the sores, to go to his house and to speak to his five brothers, hoping by chance that something would minister to them and they would be saved so that they wouldn't be in the torment that the rich man was. Now, what do you think Lazarus could have said? What do you think he could have said to those five brethren that would have spoken to them? If they were rich, like the rich man, do you think he would have made any sense? Do you think he would have been able to reach them? I doubt it. I would like to think maybe so, but I doubt it, because money has a way of blocking our witness. Have you ever thought about that? It's very hard for the rich man to get saved, isn't it? Because he's got so much that's speaking to him. He has so many things that speak to him loudly, instead of being able to hear the word. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's very difficult for a rich person to understand that simple scripture, isn't it? So if he went to the five brethren, do you think Lazarus would have been able to testify to them so that they wouldn't have come to that place of torment? Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. This was before Jesus died and went to heaven. So he's quoting the Old Testament. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear Moses and the prophets and live their lives accordingly. But the rich man says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Father Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And that, of course, also speaks to us, because Jesus rose from the dead, didn't he? He rose from the dead and he ascended unto heaven and he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Yes, he does. Ever interceding on our behalf. He hears our prayers and he relays them to the Father. If we are saved, if we are truly saved and our prayers are from the heart, Jesus hears them. And he relays them to the Father. He's saying, Father, Connie's praying right now. and she says such and such and so and so. What do you think we can do for her? Do you think this is something that we can help with? That's how it works when you have Christ in your life. But what if you don't? What if you don't have a saving grace of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And you're like the rich man. Everything's going all right. Right now, you've got money, you've got friends, right? If you got money, you've got friends. Isn't that how it usually works? But what if you lost that money? What if you got down and out? Would you still have friends? Maybe, maybe not. A lot of friends are fair weather friends, aren't they? As long as you've got money, they're your friend. When you don't, they move on to someone else. That's what happens quite often. You don't know who you can see as a friend and who you can't. It's all about money. But think about this. Think about the fact that getting saved has nothing to do with money. Receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior has to do with a relationship. The Father first moves on your heart. Jesus comes to you first. He knocks. He knocks on your heart's door, and he wants you to answer. Now, not everyone will answer, at least not positively. They won't say, come in. They'll say, maybe later when I get things in order. Maybe later after I've had fun. Maybe later when I get things organized. But that's not how Christ wants to come. Christ wants to be received as your Lord and Savior just like you are. With all your frailties, with all your infirmities, with all your problems. He wants you to take him just as you are. He'll work on cleaning you up. From the outside in, from the inside out. He just wants you to receive him as Lord and Savior of your life. And evidently, that's what Lazarus had done. Sometime in his past, he had received the Father. And he was saved. But the rich man was not, because he put all of his time and energy into his wealth, into enjoying his wealth, to the point that he did not receive anything else. And it's a sad time when people put other things in front of receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's a sad time when we don't receive Jesus because of other things that are clouding our minds, that are clouding our energy level, that's clouding everything about us. We must receive Jesus. And after we've received Jesus, everything else falls in line. We can stop our cussing or stop our stealing or whatever we had been doing that was wrong, because Jesus comes in and cleans us up. He comes in and makes us a new person, doesn't he? He makes us new. Thank God for that, because the old self wasn't very pretty. But the new one is. We're pretty as can be when we're in Jesus. We have a glow about us. We have a way of speaking. We have a way of appearing to people. You wonder why people come up to you. They come up to you because they feel safe. They feel like they can share what's on their heart. They feel like they can speak to you. They don't feel turned away. Does that make sense? To be unsaved quite often turns people away. They would never approach a person that wasn't saved. But there's just something about those saved people that make someone feel like they can share their heart. I've had it happen to me, and I've wondered afterwards, well, what in the world made them think they could say that or share that or what have you? And then I think to myself, obviously, they saw something in me I didn't see in myself. We don't always see ourselves as a Jesus person, do we? We don't always see Jesus in us, on us. But if we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we carry him with us. We carry him just like a mirror on our face. And we're approachable. We're approachable by people that are in need. So when we go out into the world this week, do we want to be Lazarus or do we want to be a certain rich man? Now, Lazarus had sores, but that's all right, isn't it? Isn't that all right? We all have something wrong with us. Let's face it, we're not all as pretty as can be all the time, but yet we're usable by Christ. We're usable, and therefore we need to make ourselves available. Be available for Jesus to use you this week. Look for opportunities. Look around at work or in the neighborhood or when you're out at the grocery store. Wherever you are, we're preaching to a lost and dying world. And we know that things aren't right in America. We know that things are changing. And I know change is not always bad, but change is not always good either. And I feel like from Washington, D.C., and I'm not political, but I will say this, that it's time for a change. We need a change, and it starts with us. It starts with America. It starts with this little town, little church with a big heart that's going to reach out to the lost and dying of this Eastern Shore. And when we do, we're going to make a difference. We will make a difference. Just think about that. Each one of you can make a difference in this Eastern Shore by speaking to someone this week, by reaching out to them. You don't have to say, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? But you can ask them how they're doing. Can you pray for them? Are things all right with them? What are their needs? And they might say to you, well, I don't know about prayer. You say, well, do you go to church? That's always the first question if nothing else works. Because sometimes people will say, I go to church, but not everyone in church is saved. Or they'll say, no, I went as a kid. Or whatever. Just open up conversation. Just find out where they are and say a prayer for them. Say a prayer with them. It's our opportunity and our time to reach to others while we can, when we can. We might not have another day, but this day can be used for the furthering of God's kingdom, can it? Let me just close with this. The rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. When the rich man was in hell, he prayed that someone would go to his lost and dying family and reach out to them. It was too late for him, and he knew that. But he didn't want to see the rest of his family lost and dying and suffering in hell. If there is one person that each of us could reach and meet with God's word, wouldn't we do that to save that person from hell? Wouldn't we do that? Of course. Let's get busy about our Father's business this week. Let's get busy. Let's get on task and reach out to that lost and dying world and speak about Jesus and what he's done for us and what he can do for them. In Jesus' name, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to bring your word this morning, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. I thank you that I was able to speak words of encouragement in this sanctuary this day. I pray, Lord, that as we go out the doors and into the work week, that we will speak to others about you, that we will be a witness for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.